Solomon says, "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in." Of course, Solomon was an adult. But this is how he described himself, because he felt so inadequate for the task that had been given him. Solomon has succeeded his father David to the throne in Israel. Read in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 12. "Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was established greatly." Now, when someone becomes a king, as it's recorded in the scriptures, we usually read after the name of that new king that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Or, on the other hand, we may read he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And here, with regard to Solomon and him being made king, the Holy Spirit's comment about him as king, verse 3, "And Solomon loved the Lord." Solomon loved the Lord. And here we see that the Holy Spirit speaks about Solomon's Savior. He loved the Lord. The Lord was his Savior. Particular notice has been taken of God's love for him also. For we are told that David's wife Bathsheba, 2 Samuel 12, verse 24, bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. The Lord loved Solomon. Now we see that Solomon returns that love. For we have just read, Solomon loved the Lord. He's like John the disciple. John the beloved disciple. John said, that disciple whom Jesus loved. Well, John expressed his love for the Lord Jesus, as we know, for he was the disciple who always leaned upon the Savior's breast. For we are told that, or now we see that Solomon returned that love. And Solomon loved the Lord. That is even better than saying that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Because the one who truly loves the Lord, what is it that flows from that love, but a desire to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord? If we love the Lord, we will always want to please Him. If we love the Lord, we'll always want to do that which is right, not evil, because we know that if we do anything that is evil, then we grieve the Lord. We grieve the one who loves us. And so we always want to do that which is right. So there was Solomon's Savior. This leads us to see also Solomon's steps. Loving the Lord, we are told about him that he was walking in the statutes of David his father. There you have Solomon's steps. He walked in the statutes of David his father, verse 3. That means the statutes which his father gave him. You look at 1 Kings chapter 2 and the opening verses. You notice here that David's days are drawing to a close. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God. That was good advice that a dying father here gave to his son. He said, keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. And so we see that the statutes that David gave to his Solomon, his son Solomon, were really the statutes of the Lord. And David had endeavored to walk in the Lord's statutes, and now he's exhorting his son Solomon to walk in those same steps, to walk that same pathway, to do as he had done as a father, and to walk in the ways of the Lord. And since he loved the God of his father, then in his father's footsteps he would want to walk. Why? Why would he want to walk in his father's footsteps? Well, first of all, no doubt, because he loved his father. But primarily, because he loved the Lord. Because Solomon loved the Lord. That leads to the next fact about Israel's new king. You have Solomon's sacrifice. The one who loves the Lord much will give to the Lord much. Look at verse 4 of chapter 3. We've just read in verse 3 that Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. That was the appointed place. He went there, for that was the great high place. What did he offer to the Lord? 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. 1,000 burnt offerings Solomon offered there on that altar to the Lord. So we see that what Solomon offered to the Lord, what Solomon was willing to sacrifice to the Lord, was because Solomon loved the Lord. That's why. And if we love the Lord, we will have no problem, no difficulty in sacrificing or giving to the Lord. Because we love him. You'll do anything for the person you love. You'll do anything for those children you love. You'll do anything for the husband or the wife whom you love. Therefore, will we not do anything for the Lord whom we love? Well, this is what Solomon did. He expressed that love in offering 1,000 bullocks on that altar. Now, there may have been those who would have said, as Judas did, when Mary came and anointed the Lord with the alabaster box of ointment, Judas cried out, "What a waste! This could have been sold and the money given to the poor. This is a terrible waste." There could have been those who said to Solomon, "What a terrible waste. 1,000 bullocks, why, they could have been sold and given to the poor." But we see here that we must never think anything is a waste if we give it to the Lord. Nothing is a waste when it is given to the Lord. And this most certainly was not a waste. Solomon simply was expressing his love by his giving, by his sacrifice. And he sacrificed 1,000 sacrifices on that altar. And it's interesting that after he made this sacrifice, in verse 5, we read about the sacrifice in verse 4, but in verse 5, in Gibeon, where he was sacrificing, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. That was a blessing in itself. The Lord appearing unto Solomon. The Lord extending his favor to Solomon. After he had made this great sacrifice and offered 1,000 bullocks probably to the Lord, it was then the Lord favored him by appearing unto him in a dream. The Lord will always favor the one who's willing to give and to sacrifice to the Lord. And we'll see that by and by. The Lord will always favor that one who's prepared to sacrifice and give to the Lord. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And in that dream, the Lord said to Solomon, "Ask what I shall give thee. Ask what I shall give thee." It would be like someone handing us a blank check, and it's already signed, and they say to us, "You fill it in, and whatever you put into that check, I will give it to you." The Lord said to Solomon, "Ask what I shall give thee." Now, recognizing the high office which he held and the responsibilities that would fall upon his shoulders as king, he spoke the words of our text. This is what Solomon said in response to the Lord saying to him, "Ask what I shall give thee." Solomon says in verse 7, "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a child. I know not how to go out or come in, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart." That's what he asked for. An understanding heart. If the Lord were to say that to us, "Ask what I shall give thee," how many of us, being honest with ourselves, would reply, "Lord, give me an understanding heart"? I think we have many, many things upon our hearts that we often ask the Lord for. But would we ever ask him for an understanding heart? You see, Solomon knew he needed an understanding heart, because in the light of all that he had to do, being king of Israel, He felt that he was nothing more than a little child. He did not know how to go out or how to come in. He didn't know how really to govern the land as king. He says, I'm nothing more than a little child. Here we see the humility of Solomon. And really that'll be our theme today. Humility in prayer. When we come to pray, we need to be humble, as Solomon was. Because when Solomon was humble in prayer, his prayers were answered. Let us see then that in the light of these words, I am but a little child. Let us see that Solomon was humble in his position. He was humble in his position. He has just been made king of Israel. He was made king of all the land. He's sitting upon a throne. And yet, in his humility, he says, I am but a little child. He doesn't endeavor to exalt himself. Oh, now I am king. No, he says, I am but a little child. That's all I am. And here you have Solomon. We see how humble he was in his position. The Lord had said to him, ask what I will give thee. Well, you know, believer, the Lord has said those same words to us. The Lord has basically said to us, ask what I will give thee. And what have we said in reply? Turn to Matthew, please, in chapter 7. Matthew 7. And in Matthew 7, in verses 7 and 8, the Lord said, ask. Well, that's what he said to Solomon, ask. Matthew 7, verse 7, ask, and it shall be given you. So the Lord is saying to us, ask what I shall give you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, for every one that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And then you remember the words again of the Lord in John 14. In John 14 and verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. It's basically the same thing that he said to Solomon. And Solomon said, I am but a little child. Or perhaps the words which the Savior directed at the disciples, maybe we could take to heart. The Lord has said to us, ask and ask and ask. He said it over and over. What did he say to his disciples? He said, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy might be full. You haven't prayed to me in my name. You haven't asked. If you don't ask, you'll not receive. And the Lord said, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask. Isn't it amazing the Lord has to exhort us to ask? Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy might be full. Now we see that Solomon was greatly humbled by the words of the Lord. He was king of Israel. He had the feeling of his inability to rule. He really just didn't feel up to it. He says, I am but a little child. He was a humble man. First of all, as far as position was concerned, he was a humble son. He had just been made the most powerful man in the land, following in his father's footsteps. He held an exalted position, namely King of Israel. And yet, he was not forgetful of how he came to the throne. First of all, he speaks about his godly parent. Look there at verse 6. Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy. According as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. He spoke about his godly parent. Notice how respectfully he spoke of David, his father. He said, Thy servant David, my father. He was glad to own David as his father. And that's what he called him. My father. He didn't call him the old man. He didn't have some other disrespectful name for him. He said, David, my father. I read last week about a man who stabbed his son to death because he got tired of his sin, his son calling him the old man. And the father said that he just flipped him, stabbed his son. The son had shown absolutely no respect for his father. Father did wrong, of course, in stabbing his son. But he showed no respect for his father. The father got tired of him calling him the old man. Solomon did not refer to David as the old man. He said, David, thy servant, my father. I respect him as my father. And the Bible teaches us that we are to respect our parents. Leviticus 19 and verse 32. We teach our children when they are infants and young children to respect us as parents. But whenever our children become adults, they are still expected to respect their parents. For we read in Leviticus 19, verse 32, Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. Thou shalt rise up. Thou shalt acknowledge the elderly parent, the grey-headed parent. Thou shalt rise up and acknowledge them and honour the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I am the Lord. And so the elderly are to be respected. Adult children are to respect their aged parents. That's the teaching of Scripture. And they are to do everything that will show their respect for them. In his humility as a son, Solomon recognized his godly parent, and he also recognized God's providence. If you look again at the verse 6, this humble son said, "And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son." Thou hast given him a son. God has given to David a son, speaking of himself, to sit on his throne as it is this day. He acknowledges the providence of God, that he's not on that throne by chance. God planned for David to have a son, and that son to be called Solomon, and that son to sit upon the throne of Israel. God had planned it. And Solomon acknowledges that. He acknowledges the providence of God. In light of the father that he had, in light of having David as his father, Solomon says, his son, I'm nothing more than a little child in the light of my father, in all that my father did. I'm only a little child in comparison to my father, who's a great man. Makes good reading, doesn't it? Good reading to read the words of what a son had to say about his father. But now this child is king of Israel, and he acknowledges God's hand in it all. And we read about Solomon's son. Moreover, the Lord shall raise him a king over Israel. 1 Kings 14 and verse 14. Wherever the Lord has placed us, let us acknowledge the Lord's providence. The Lord has put us where we are today by his providential workings in our lives. I never thought I'd be in Canada. When I'm through the theological hall, I was already in a church, and the Lord called us to another church. But in those years, I never dreamt I would be here. But in the providence of God, I and my wife and family are here. God had planned it all, long before I knew anything about it. It's God's providence. You notice also that he was not only a humble son, but we see Solomon here as a humble sovereign. He's king. He's king. But he's still humble. He's not big-headed because he has been made king. Here is Solomon, king of Israel, with a position of power and many possessions, and yet he describes himself as a little child. That's all I am, he's saying to the Lord. Solomon did not exalt himself or boast about himself or promote himself. Instead, he viewed himself as a little child. And we can say, oh, what humility. Once again, we see that Solomon conducted himself according to what the Lord required. What does the Lord require of us? Dear Christian, what does the Lord require of us? Well, here it is. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. That's what the Lord requires. That we do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. Mark those words. Walk humbly with thy God. Micah 6, verse 8. Those words, walk humbly with thy God, may also be rendered, humble thyself to walk with God. Humble thyself to walk with God. Only a man who is humble is able to walk with God. Our God is humble. And we will not be able to walk with God if we have a heart that's full of pride. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos has told us. Well, if you have a humble God and a proud Christian, they'll not be able to walk together. And so we read by the prophet Micah, humble thyself to walk with God. And only a man who is humble is able to walk with God. And here was a humble man, a humble sovereign, a humble son, who undoubtedly walked with God. Because he said in verse 3, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Walking in the statutes of David his father. And we've already noted what those statutes were. They were actually the statutes of the Lord. Solomon was walking with God. Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. They were humble men. And they walked with God. And usually when men are raised up to an exalted position in life, well, they show very little humility. And they certainly show a lot of pride. You turn to Daniel, please. In Daniel chapter 5. In Daniel 5 and verse 18. Daniel 5 verse 18. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. Daniel's speaking to Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans. And he's reminding him of what the Lord did for his father, Nebuchadnezzar. And in Daniel 5 and verse 18 he says, and thou, O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride. There it is. He had been exalted by the God of heaven. He had been given a kingdom. He had been given majesty and glory and honor and had been given power. And then we read, and when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed. And his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And now Daniel speaks to Belshazzar, his son. And he says in verse 22, and thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Thou didst know all about what happened to your father because of his pride. And yet, in spite of that lesson and that warning, you have refused to humble yourself. But thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and so forth. Men that are given a high position usually fill with pride. But wait. There is one who is mightier than Nebuchadnezzar, mightier than Belshazzar, mightier than Solomon, And he's the one who said, a greater than Solomon is here. Do you know who that is? He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. No one holds a higher position than he. And yet, what did he say? I am meek and lowly. There's his humility. And you look at Solomon and you see a Christ likeness about Solomon. He was king of Israel. But as Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here, speaking of himself, and of himself he said, I am meek and lowly in heart. The word lowly is the word humble. And Christ is the most powerful of all kings because he's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. And yet he says that he's meek and lowly, or humble of heart. And believer, let us follow the example of Solomon. Yea, let us follow the example of Christ, who even though he holds that exalted position, high above all that is on earth, all that is in heaven, yet he has a humble heart. Unfortunately, there were those who allowed their position to go to their heads. But what did Solomon say? Lord, I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or how to come in. I know not how to go out amongst this people and to rule them and to govern them and to advise them and to counsel them. I don't know. I'm just a little child. There's humility. There is humility indeed. And remember, according to Micah, that's what the Lord requires of us. And if we show humility in the place of prayer, as Christ did when he prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. That's humility. And we show the same humility in prayer. There's no telling what God will do for us. Solomon didn't go to the Lord and demand anything. He simply said, give. Therefore thy servant, an understanding heart. Because as a little child, I need an understanding heart. He was not only a humble son and a humble sovereign, but we notice he is also a humble servant. Verse 7 again, speaking about himself, Solomon said, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. Look at the two words. They are together. Servant, king. He has no sooner said servant than he says king. Now kings are those who have servants. Solomon had quite a few servants. You turn to 1 Kings 10. The Queen of Sheba found that out when she came to him. She entered his house in 1 Kings 10 and verse 5. And she spoke about what she saw. Verse 5, 1 Kings 10. And the meat, this is what she saw, the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants. and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, more servants, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no spirit in her. Verse 8. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Solomon had many servants, cupbearers, maidservants, men servants. They waited on him night and day. And yet, Solomon, as king, says to the Lord, Lord, I am thy servant. He takes the humble position. He doesn't look upon himself as the great king in the eyes of the Lord. He looks upon himself as a servant in the eyes of the Lord. Once again, there's humility. He took that humble position of acknowledging that while he was the sovereign of Israel, he was the servant of God. Remember what Paul said about Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. The form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. Philippians 2 and verse 7. Christ, the great King of Kings, yet he took upon himself the form of a servant. What a lesson. What a lesson he has given to us. Indeed, in John 13, verse 15. Remember what John 13's about? The Lord washing the feet of his disciples. The Lord taking the position of a servant, laying aside his garments, putting a towel around his waist, and there washing the feet of the disciples, demonstrating his humility. He told the disciples that he was their master, but he took the position of a servant. And then he said this, listen, I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done. Now we are not to wash the feet of others. That's not what he was saying. The Lord was giving them an example of humility. And the Lord is saying, you do the same. You live the same. I've given you an example of humility. Now you follow my ways and my footsteps. Have we followed the Lord's example? Can we say today we are his humble servants? I'll have to leave it there for today, because we want to look at Solomon's humble prayer, which is really the heart of the matter. We'll see, God willing, next Sabbath, Solomon and his humble prayer. Let's bow our heads together now as we seek the Lord. O dear loving Father, we bless thee for the wonderful example that Solomon has set us. We thank thee for his humility as a son, as a sovereign, and as a servant. But Lord, we rejoice in the one who's greater than Solomon, who has set us an even greater example. And O Lord, we thank thee that thou hast set thyself before us today And thou hast told us to follow thy example. May we endeavor to do so as Christians. Lord, may we be humble Christians. And humble in the place of prayer. And just as Solomon saw great answers to his prayers, we believe, Lord, if we are just as humble, we will see answers also. Be with us now, Lord, throughout this day, and in thy will, return us to the service tonight to spend more time around the Word, and Lord, to learn more of thee. Grant everyone now safe journey. Keep us much in prayer in these days. By the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.